Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry Huber, who is here to talk with us about the importance of supporting practice. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for having me.
So generous of you to be with us. Yes. So the importance of supporting practice, that's our topic for this evening.
Yeah. And it's a favorite of mine, as you know, which is why I actually asked you if I could come here and talk about it this evening. So one of the ways that, the first way that we want people to support practice is to support themselves in practice, right? Yeah. That's first and foremost, participation, because that makes all the difference for everything. And when I first started doing practice, my teacher would say things along the lines of, you know, we want people to support practice who benefit from it.
Yeah.
And that's the same process. So I practice, I benefit from practice. I want practice to continue. I really appreciate the fact that it exists. And so I want to support it. I want to support it by participating, by going to things so that those kinds of things can continue to be offered. And I want to support it financially so that it continues for me and for everybody else. Because all those who supported it before I came along kept it alive and vibrant so that when I was ready and was looking for practice, it was there for me, and I want to do the same thing. And it's the difficulty I think that we run into, I'll project this because I think we're all much more alike than we're different, certainly, is that there's a feeling that other people somehow are more able to do that than I am. You know, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us listen to voices that say, you know, we're too busy, we've got too much going on. Other people can show up, other people can volunteer, other people can participate, but I can't right now. Someday I'll be able to, but right now I'm just too busy. There's just way too much going on. And, of course, if we all listen to that, then yeah, it's like, it's the, you know, my mind went to that old thing about pacifists, you know, people who are against pacifists who say, what if somebody called a war and nobody showed up?
That was one of the things that changed my life when I was I think it may have even been my first retreat, and someone asked you that question, and you said, now stop and think about that. just for a minute. And I mean, it changed my life. It really did.
So with this one, of course, what would happen is, you know, we say we call a retreat and nobody shows up. Well, that's kind of the end of practice. In the same way, it could conceivably be the end of war. And so if we keep that in mind, that it's not really true, it doesn't matter to anybody if I don't show up. It matters if everybody shows up. We all depend on one another. And we can't all do everything all the time. But if enough of us are doing as much as we can, then there will be enough support for all of us. Just that, you know, when the voices start talking us out of a workshop or a retreat or a class or whatever it is, to just realize that everybody else in Sangha is counting on us to be there for that kind of support that we benefit from. Now, if we're not benefiting, then this conversation isn't for the person who's not benefiting, right?
Right, which you started off with, which I appreciate so much. And to me, that's what makes practice and makes the integrity of practice, is that we're not offering practice as a product. It's not a, you know, here's a thing, do you want to buy it? practice is offered as long as people want it. And that,
that's
to me,
exactly right.
Says so much about what practice is. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So we just had a financial meeting, and our goal from the time we started practice, old-timers know this story very well. Somebody early on said, well, you know, you're counting on people to donate, and what if they don't? And I said, well, we'll lose everything. We won't be able to afford the location, and we'll all have to go do something else. You know, it's pretty straightforward. If nobody wants it, then yeah. there's no use for it, and so why have it? And we've always had as our goal to break even.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the year, this is how much we spent and this is how much we received. Because we're not in it to make money. And so we've always managed to do that. Sort of. And this last year, not so much. And I don't know why. But it occurred to me that maybe one of the things that has happened is because we say so little about financial support. You know, people
right.
don't get letters from us saying, you know, can you give us some money?
Right.
And that's obviously a conscious decision. We don't want to do that. We want to receive money from people who are benefiting and want to give what they can to support what supports them. So we rarely talk about finances. And so maybe we haven't talked about finances in so long that people forget that it's an issue. But
exactly.
it is an issue.
Exactly.
You know, we,
yeah.
we do need money in order to keep doing what we're doing. And one of the programs that is most helpful for us, it's I just made a donation to an organization today, and they had this little request to make it a monthly donation because what they said is that helps us know what we can count on each month rather
right.
than a kind of a random single amount. And I could have thought about that before, but I never did. And I realized that that's true for us. So we have the what we call the MODOs, the monthly donors. And they're really there must be a word for it, but sort of the backbone of our practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who commit to giving something every month, and then we know that on a given month, that much is going to come in. So if we're doing a lot of other things, and there are certain things that we do that we just know are not money makers, you know, we're gonna go in the red every time we do this. But we still want to do it because it's so important for our practice. And those are primarily the things that really involve new people who haven't benefited yet from practice, right? So they're not inclined to support it. That you know, it's like I'll pay for the retreat and there that we've had a financial transaction and we're good because we're used to that in our culture, right? We're very much a consumer kind of a culture, and you get the best price you can for something, and then that's the end of it. But with awareness practice and most other spiritual practices and a lot of other service or humanitarian kinds of things, what is counted on is the generosity of people who are receiving benefit and value what it is and want it to continue. So when people become monthly donors, it really supports us. And, of course, we're always very grateful when people donate after a retreat or an event because, again, those events are priced so that we cover our costs. And then everything else is from people's generosity. So I just wanted an opportunity to make that clear in case anybody wondered if we were fabulously wealthy and able just to cruise along here indefinitely. The answer is actually no.
Yeah. And I just want to underline one thing you just said because I think it's so inspiring, Sherry, that essentially that by being a monthly donor or being a strong financial supporter of the organization, for those of us who have been around a while, we're reaching out to people who are brand new to practice. And
yes.
that someone did that for us.
Yes.
You know? I mean,
absolutely.
I think about that
every
all the time.
Every single one of us. Yep,
right?
Every single
I mean,
one of us.
So many of us that live at the who live at the monastery currently weren't here to build it. And
right.
so we're sitting in an amazing place, physically, metaphorically, spiritually, that has been built by all those who have come before, the practice of everyone who has come before us. And so how inspiring yeah. to then be able to reach out to the next group of folks. Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is often, especially when we're doing something like a precepts retreat, we all go to that sense of, wow, for literally thousands of years that we know yeah. of, people have been doing practice like this and handing it down to the next generation. And
yeah.
and to be a part of that is pretty awe-inspiring, actually,
yeah, really.
To experience mm-hmm. oneself as being in that line of people doing
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. it's humbling and inspiring at the same time.
Yeah, and in that way, it's moving because, you know, a lot of people talk about how money is a you know physical representation of where our energy is, what we want to support in life, and so supporting practice can be a really moving way to support our own practice in acknowledging how important it is to us. So
yes.
yeah,
yeah. So we. I was saying to somebody recently who was asking me about whatever that I was doing, and I said, well, you know, I always feel like we need to put our money where our morals are.
Yeah.
And sometimes we say that, putting our money where our heart is. You know,
yeah.
So to support the things in life, again, that support us, it's a good thing to do. I remember, again, you've heard all these stories so many times, but I was on one of my many long sojourns from wherever to wherever, and I was listening to Christian radio, which I mm-hmm. tend to like to do on long trips. And because, you know, there's no Buddhist radio. I don't know. Maybe we should look into that. But now, of course, I could listen to open air, but, you know.
I was going
to
say, well,
anyway.
I'll tell you one show I know about, but that's later.
Yeah. So I was listening to Christian radio, and this guy came on, and he said, and if you're listening to this show and you're not supporting it, you're ripping off God.
Mm.
It was one of those kind of moments. And I tell you, I got home and I sent a donation to that radio show
it.
Because it's true. I mean, I was
yeah.
really receiving benefit from the effort that they were making, and I wanted to acknowledge that and express my appreciation for it. So,
that's our little
encouragement for tonight, right?
Yeah.
If anybody can. And one of the things that's interesting about it, actually, I just saw that a very generous donation came through for open air. And that's one of those things that 12, 13 years or whatever it is that we've been doing this, and there is no charge for this. And it goes out all over the world, and people listen to it. You know, they tell us sometimes around the clock if they're really struggling. And there's no charge for it. It's just something
right.
that we want to put out into the world. And so it really touched me that somebody whose name, quite frankly, I did not recognize, had given a very generous donation because obviously it was something that was an important part of their practice. And I was touched by that. And so for us to just think in those terms, and not even just with us, but with kind
yep.
of looking around in our lives and what is meaningful to us? And are
yes.
we expressing that? Are we supporting that? Are we
yep. Yep.
making sure that in the future it'll be there for us and for everyone else?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, thank you for all of that, Sherry. You know, it's not anything we don't generally know, but hearing it is so important, being reminded of it. I can just feel myself like, right, okay, right, there are a few places I haven't supported lately that I get a ton of benefit from. So Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, you're so very welcome.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll turn the show over to you and Michael and have a great show.
Turn it over to Sherry and Michael?
Sherry and Michael.
Okay. All right. Good. That's
all right, Michael.
Here.
That's you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sherry, and good afternoon, good evening, I think is more accurate, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Michael. It's kind of seamless this way, isn't it? Yeah, good. You?
Good. Great, great.
Yeah, we've been having some fun, haven't we?
Yeah, it was a fun conversation. I was thinking, oh, I'll start charging for my time for Open Air here, and just joking, so.
So we could say, so if somebody appreciates that Michael shows up here every Tuesday night for the last 12 or 13 years, then you could thank him by sending him a little donation, huh? Yeah. All right.
No, but can I add on to your conversation there?
Oh, please.
Yeah, it was really helpful because, as you say, we don't talk about it much, and I don't hear about much about the finances. And what I loved about your conversation is that you didn't make anybody wrong in that. It's just information. Here's what's going on financially. Here's how the, you know, voices can talk to us about money. And here's the situation with practice, which has been this incredible jewel that's been passed down to us, and now it's our turn to take care of it.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael, one of the things that we didn't say, but is really important to me, because this has always been a part of our orientation, which is there are sometimes when people are really flush. You know, things are just cooking along and they're flush, and they have a lot of ability to be very generous. And then there can be times when it's not the case and things are really, really tight. And the understanding is that people will give as they can. There isn't an expectation that anybody is going to give a particular amount at a particular time because we don't know what somebody might be going through. So for each one of us to look inside and know that the you know, the wish is that we would all be doing the best that we can all the time, which we happen to know we all are, and that's going to fluctuate depending on what's going on. But whatever is going on with us financially, we can't let that affect our practice, right? So so with people who are around practice and participating, sometimes they'll simply say, this is going on. Can I catch you later for this, whatever it is? And the answer is yes. Now, if it's somebody who's new, who hasn't benefited from practice, that's probably not going to be the case, right? Because it's, personally, I feel that it's important that we take responsibility for our participation in whatever it is that we're participating in. So if I, you know, if I'm going to do something for the first time, then it's important that I pay my way. Philosophically, yes. I think that that is really true, because getting a free ride has never benefited anybody. But after people are a part of things and participating and like that, anytime something happens where they need us to be there for them in a specific way, and as they have been there for us in a specific way, the answer is always yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because people can fall into a trap of conditioned mind saying, well, you can't afford that now, so you can't practice. Oh, no, 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 no. We must never, ever fall for that, ever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
So we carry each other. Okay. We carry each other in the good times, in the fat times, and in the lean times.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. It's a very sacred bond, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And I was thinking too about the my participation with Open Air over the years, and I've gotten far more back than I've given. It certainly feels like it to me. I am the first beneficiary, and it's a huge gift, and that's one way that I participate in practice. And I liked what you said about financial circumstances changing also, because, you know, I'm a monthly donor, but I haven't looked at that amount in a while. And so, you know, does it really reflect now what I'm able to give? Or can I up that?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so, as you said, you know, when things are more flush, you know, let's give more to what's important to me.
Good point. Yeah. And conversely, God forbid, this is where we like to say God forbid, right? Yeah. If circumstances change, then you would feel as comfortable to say, got to pass on that for a little while till we get things squared away. And that's what we would want you to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Many gifts.
What's going on, Michael?
Well, good question, Sherry, and I'm glad you asked, because only a couple of slots remain in the New Year's retreat, which starts December 27th in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
We've had some cancellations.
Oh.
So this is very good for a couple of lucky people.
Yes. So ringing a new year with Sangha, yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and guidance with you, Sherry. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice, requiring participants to show up weekly to practice being present. So don't miss the new quarter beginning in January. Yes. And who we think we are, the ego identity, interferes with being what we authentically are, which is a unique expression of the intelligence that animates. So join us for Anjali, Emptying Your Teacup, a year-long retreat exploring what we have to give up to see what we have to offer.
Lovely.
Yes.
What do we need to let go in order to have all that we are? That's an exciting little proposition, isn't it?
Yes, lovely. And for these opportunities and a complete listing of programs and retreats for 2016, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
And you know, Michael, one of the things that I think is still on the, I know it's still on the schedule, is the or maybe it's full, I don't know, the kickoff on the 16th?
Yes.
Yeah.
The video.
Did you say that?
Kickoff?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I did not, but I've been getting texts about it from Practice Everywhere.
Okay. Good. Yeah, so on the 16th is our annual video kickoff. So wherever people are around the world, they can join us via technology as we kick off the new year of practice.
Great.
And that's available at the same place. Just go to their website.
Yes, exactly. And if folks would like to talk with you today, Sherry, they can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, and let me find our first caller here. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
First caller, are you there? Okay.
Hello.
Oops.
I thought I could hear somebody. Who is it?
Okay, I just muted you, and now you're unmuted again.
This is Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello. I was hoping it wasn't going to be me. Because I'm nervous. I got nervous.
That's perfectly acceptable behavior.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's so one of the lines, I think it's in the key, nobody ever died of uncomfortable. And as far as we know, we haven't lost anybody to nervous either. So, you know, we just keep breathing through it. And pretty soon we calm down and there we are.
Yes. So I'm sorry I missed the first 2 minutes of the good news. So it's like awkward coming into the conversation late. But what I did pick up was I have been so re-inspired of late, and I can just feel joy coming back into my life. It's been so long.
Mm.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like a
lovely
reawakening. It's, yeah,
uh-huh.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. It is wonderful, isn't it?
Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the disidentification. And it was such a big one for me about a month and a half ago. And I just went, oh, it's the process. It's not me.
Uh-huh.
And that relief was, it's just overwhelming. And it's this, it's just like you say, it's so relaxing.
Yeah.
And just, it was such a profound reawakening for me. That just feeling the joy and feeling the pep and the lightness in my step and feeling there is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. And it's just so profound.
And so did it feel kind of like you were living in a story and suddenly you came to and realized that it was a story and not the truth?
It was the content, because the content led me to behavior that caused regret. The behavior was different for me than a usual story, because it included like these different characters, and they were different enough to go, wait, this is weird. Like, this is not my usual story. It really kind of made me scratch my head and go, what are these people doing in this story? And as I thought about it, I'm in this regret. And I thought, that is the entire kit and caboodle right there. It's not the what. It's my strongest content. And it's like, it's not the content. It just happened to hook me, and it takes it. Not only does it cause me to suffer for the side effects of the content, then it takes me into the story. And so it's like, that's it. That with my strongest content, it was just incredible for me. Incredible.
Wow. And the thing that I love about what you're saying is, so if we use language like the dark room and the light room, you're in the dark room, and suddenly, in a second, you're in the light room. And everything has changed. You see it.
Everything
you come to,
changed.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yes.
You know, because the voices would tell us that if you're going to wake up, you know, if you're going to get out of this, if you're going to disidentify, well, that's fine. But it's going to be a long process. You're really going to have to work at this, and you're going to have to go through a lot, and it's going to be arduous, and I'm not sure you're up for it. And, in fact, it's a split second.
Yes. It's an incredible, incredible moment. And with that awakening, talking to my friend, because I was in this regret, and she helped me to, like, oh, my God, I'm out of it. And she said, make it a monastery day. Pretend you're at the monastery. Take care of yourself today. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I did that. And it was so wonderful. And I had that perspective to say, I see you. I see you, content. And just to be able to rejoice that I see you so clearly. And so by seeing it, ego couldn't torture me with it.
Yeah.
Because I saw it.
Yeah. Yes, you had that distance. You were disidentified.
Yeah.
I love that make it a monastery day. That is brilliant. So you're instead of taking a chance on having that kind of the lights come on, and then have it the dimmer switch. You know, ego is it's imaginary little hand is creeping toward the dimmer switch. You know, just make a day of it. Stay focused.
Yes.
Stay present. Take care of yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
A monastery day. I like it.
I had broth and, you know, just a cozy day to take care of myself, take care of that human. And it was just fabulous. Fabulous.
Love it.
So,
I'm
going to wrap that fantastic experience up with, you know, ego telling me that, you know, I've, you know, put the practice aside and all these mean things that, you know, all of the years and all of the time that's been around, they're still right there with me. They're right there.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Which is why we must practice always. Right?
Yes.
We must practice always. Mm-hmm. As I'm fond of pointing out, the Buddha, very, very old man, was practicing on the day he died. Right?
Yeah.
So, it's always lurking. Maybe today you'll have a weak moment and they can take back over and drag you into the dark. Maybe today. Well, maybe today. And we have to keep saying, no, not today. No, not today.
Punch
I'm
the
staying
shark
in the light
face,
today.
Right? Yes.
Say it again?
Punch the shark in the nose, right? And
that's right.
Don't let it take over.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So I'm inspired
right.
to contribute. I want to be a moto next year. It makes my heart feel good to do that. So I'm glad you guys spoke about that this evening.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so
continue to take
go,
care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I shall.
Okay.
Good
night.
Thanks for joining us, Stephanie. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Yeah.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Well, hello, Todd.
Hi. I was just on last week, and if there's a lot of folks in the queue, I'm going to step aside just after I say something very quickly.
All right.
Great. Thank you for good news update. I have let my monthly donor contributions lapse, and as soon as I'm off this call at the end of open air, I'm going to go on and start recontributing to my monthly donor, as I've benefited greatly from the practice.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you very much. And, Michael, do we have a good lineup here?
Yes, we do.
So we could let Todd go, besides which we get to see Todd in just a few days.
Yes,
yeah,
that's true, isn't it?
So
yeah. Thank you, Todd.
I've been wanting to get back to the monthly donor, and this is the encouragement I needed.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so glad. You don't feel nagged.
That's funny. No, I don't feel nagged. At all.
Okay, good.
Okay, good night. Thanks a lot.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Todd. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And we have the next caller right here.
All right, caller,
you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Sherry. How are you?
I'm feeling very grateful to Todd for that, because I haven't been able to get on in a really, really long time, and I'm so happy to talk to you guys.
Good. Now that's song in action, isn't it?
I know. That was just so kind, and it is song in action.
Mhm. Generosity.
And, yes. And I'm happy.
So what's going on?
I'm happy because I was thinking I wanted to do this thing to like really, really irritate conditioning, which is I've been repeating something over and over again about the practice intensive that we had last week. And I think, you know, I was thinking about how conditioning like repeats over and over and over and over ad nauseum, you know, all this negative stuff. And so I've just been telling the same positive story over and over again. And, and it just delights me to no end, you know, to like why not, really, you know?
Why not? Why not? And do you have a sense that conditioning is getting a little worked up over the whole thing?
Totally. That's why I'm so excited to get on this call, because I've already spoken about this on several practice calls already. And I've told, you know, talked to different friends about it, talked to my recorded about it a couple times, you know. And so it's really fun to just watch
it
squirm.
Really fun. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You know, there are people who would see this as mean, right? How come you have to? But I figure, you know, that system has tortured people for so long that turning the tables on it and enjoying watching it squirm, watching it get miserable and be powerless, I think it's okay. I actually don't think it's mean. I think it's like doing a little celebration dance after you won the game. It's okay. You know, we don't have to thumb our nose at anybody, but it's okay. All that's happening is that you're choosing to put your attention where you want it. The fact that that system is going crazy is what it's doing, right? You're not actually doing it to cause that result. It just happens to be having that result, and it's okay to enjoy it.
Exactly. And the thing that I'm seeing by sort of pushing the envelope a bit with this is that I'm still excited. I'm still enthusiastic. Mm. Why shouldn't I talk about, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's revealing something to me about that. I don't have to just like.
It's your life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So here's what I want to
but
tell
you, know,
you about.
Let me say something first, because I want to make sure that. I think that what you're pointing at is it's very, very subtle, and I think it's an important one to underline, that there's a certain guilt or something like that when a person chooses for themselves what makes them happy. So what you're doing is just repeating a story that makes you happy. And there's this subtle kind of a, it's not okay to do that. It's, and then what that is would be very, very hard to pin down. But I'll bet most people, if they decided to take up the practice that you're describing, would run into that. That it's not okay. It's like the conditioning would want to start saying things like, well, but you're not really paying attention to what's real. I mean, you're not really here. You know, that's just imaginary. You're just making something up to feel better, right? And of course, all you're doing is the same process that it does to make a person unhappy, right? It makes up a story that is not real, that's not happening now, that is designed to make somebody unhappy, and that's okay. But doing the opposite of that is somehow wrong.
Yep. Yes. I think you're so right. And there's also this sort of like, that's enough. That's enough happiness, Missy. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you just going to spend the rest of your life being happy? Come on. And the answer is, yes, I think I shall. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I got to see during the practice intensive, if I can.
Great, yes, please.
Was that there were just like that week of the practice intensive, I feel like I got to see all these different new categories of abundance in my life. And
mm-hmm.
I love that. Like, so I'll just give for an example. Like, one of the things, I started re-noticing gifts that I've received and picking them up and looking at them and appreciating them and sending thank you notes and saying, I love this, you know, whatever it is. I love this so much. I still have it, you know, and like it never really occurred to me before to, you know, resend thank you notes. But then I thought, well, I'm so grateful that this is in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of also go ahead.
Well, it's just a perfect example of what you're saying and what we've been looking at. It's okay to ignore people. It's not okay to acknowledge them. You know, you sent a thank you note. There. That's enough, isn't it? And so if you have this gift for the next 10 or 20 years, that one thank you note is enough. But as you're pointing out, well, where is the harm in acknowledging, again, how much you appreciate this gift? And yet there is that kind of a, well, that's not, you know, that's not what's done. We don't do
yeah.
that. Why not?
And what it does,
I think it'll catch on.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I hope it catches on.
Oh, me too, because the thing is, A, it reconnects me to whatever the, you know, if it's a, you know, my sister gave me this really warm, fuzzy blanket about 10 years ago, and I love it. You know, and it reconnects me to, like, I love this. And it reconnects mm-hmm. me to her, you know, to her generosity, mm-hmm. and to be able to send her a note just kind of deepens our relationship. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I started doing the same thing. I happened to be looking at some photos. I was creating a photo gift for my mom, and like really loving memories. And of course, conditioning wants to tell me like that's living in the past. You shouldn't do that. But I started sending notes to people as I was finding photos. Like, I loved that time we blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I can't believe you made the time to get together with me for this. I'm looking at the photo. Here's the photo, sending the photo, you know, re-loving it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not in the past, is it? It's happening right now.
Yes, it is. It is. The mm-hmm. feelings, and I remember you saying this once to us, and a long time ago, that it's like when we think about something, we get flooded with all the same chemicals as if it's really happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like mm-hmm. all that love and all that joy is just like, mm-hmm. boom, flooding through my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can see in that unhappy, negative world of egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate, why it's not acceptable to do that, to keep our attention on the things that we love, that we enjoy, that make us happy. All of the gifts that we have received on every level, there are physical gifts and mental, emotional, spiritual gifts that we've received. And so why not have those be the real events of our lives now as much as the other events of our lives that the voices would have us focus on all the time, like things that didn't go well with your sister or times that your mother let you down or whatever it is. You know, that's considered sensible.
Yep.
To focus
yep.
on those negative things, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and when you know, you just mentioned that too about like physical gifts, and that was like a whole nother layer of, you know, really looking deeply. I mean, I feel like often I'm saying like, oh, I'm so grateful I can walk, or I'm so grateful I could see. But I felt like during that week of the practice intensive, like I started being grateful for physical things that it's like I've never thought about before. Like, you know, like my liver's working today, you know, or just like mm-hmm. the way that my brain cells connect. And like, mm-hmm. it's crazy how many millions of moving parts there are physically to who we are. And that
yes.
in any given day that they're working, I was just like walking around like, this is incredible, you know, this
yes.
body.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think, I can't remember where, maybe it was on the intensive where somebody had a cold and was talking about how, you know, parts of her had a cold, but then there are all of these other parts that didn't have a cold, and they were just cruising along. They're just functioning beautifully, and so to spend the time focusing on the body, not in a conversation about, oh, my head, my nose, my whatever, but all my toes are going. I can just wiggle them, and they're all going right. I can just get up and walk across the room. My liver is doing what it does. Gosh, it's a good day. You know, and the voices would say, well, that's silly. But it's not silly. It's the difference between a life of unhappiness and a life of happiness.
I know. Yes, I just feel like because we had that whole week, yeah, but it's like I did every day new things. Like I started looking at books I have that I love, and I just started zipping off letters to the authors thinking, why didn't I ever thank that person? You know, I love this book. I learned so much. You know what I mean? Just like almost everything in my life, sales clerks, I started sending letters to, you know, like it just, there was something about that beautiful, you know, email that we got to launch it that I just felt like all of a sudden it opened up like doors that had been, you know, not locked shut, but just sort of closed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, yeah, the more that I'm talking about it, the more conditioning it just, it hates this so much. It hates it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's endless.
That's fine.
You know, the,
yeah.
The more that I look
it's
at
fine,
it,
but
the more
it hates
talk
it.
About it. It's like the more categories kind of get revealed. And each time there's a new category, it's like just filled with, you know, new things to be abundant around.
Yeah, and when people first take up recording and listening, it's their question is, well, what do I record about? Well, you've just given about 15 solid tips for places to look for things that we can record about and that we can listen to that will take us to that place of feeling loved and cared for and appreciated and valued and grateful and all of those kinds of things. And then we can choose to live in that world because that world is actually far more true than all of that stuff the voices are yammering on about all day long.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and just one last thing, because I know this you know, may seem obvious, but to me, it's like this really new getting it in my body. Like conditioning is so much about not enough, not enough, not enough, more not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And practice is always pointing me like this. And I think this is the thing I just love. You know, like the practice intensive. Practice is always pointing to there's more abundance. Look in that corner. Did you look over there? You know?
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, did you see that? Did you notice that? How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So thank you so much. And thank you again to Todd, because I really appreciate that. I haven't been on for a long time, and it's great to get to connect again.
Good. Well, I bet he's listening, so I bet he heard it. Yes. And before you go, years ago, you guys sent me an orange bowl. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I still have it. I still love it. Thank you.
That felt so good.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Steve Gusho. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And thank you for great modeling there, Sherry Huber. That was very, very fun.
I love it that she brought that up. I just think that's an amazing, amazing possibility or whatever, because it's true that so many of the things that surround me in my life I have loved for years and years and years, and many of them came from, you know, people that I care about deeply. And just to bring that into conscious awareness feels wonderful.
Yes, lovely, lovely. And now we're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
You're right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
Hello, Beth. How are you doing?
Completely surprised to be on. But I have to say that I like how waiting in the queue keeps me on my toes.
Yes.
And it kind of gives me a higher level of paying attention.
Yes. Yes.
And I was really
at any moment. At any moment, you could hear you are unmuted, right? And then
yes.
You want to nod off?
Yes. Okay. I was prepared. I had a couple of things to kind of choose from, and they're all gone. So the one that's kind of bubbling to the surface at the moment is about a year and a half ago, I worked with a local meditation group in the Bon tradition. And this kind of leader kind of had us write a mission statement. Can I say it to you?
Sure.
I create a world of transparent simplicity. I do this humbly and as a warrior by showing up and getting out of the way. There is room in my lap for you.
And what was the last sentence?
There is room for you.
I'm sorry, I heard.
Okay. The last
I heard you, the warrior letting go, getting out of the way, but then there was something after that I missed.
Yeah, there's room in my lap for you.
Ah, okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I steered toward my own personal karma. Being transparent is my ego has me in the corner.
Uh-huh.
For most of the time. I'm a highly chaotic person, but enjoy simplicity, particularly as I'm aging. And I kind of see, you know, like if I can live simply, I can help this overpopulated planet.
Mm-hmm. Because the Gandhi lives simply that others might simply live.
I tend to lose my backbone, so by being a warrior, it's an internal battle. It's not like a warrior outward, but a warrior inward.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of points to courage, which is a six,
mm-hmm.
Is what I mean, what I'm working with in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And here in humble submission. Again and yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And showing up and getting out of the way. Kind of practicing with like my hair's on fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And willing to give up the illusion of control.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So they let go and let life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A been using that along with yes, thank you, I love you, and trying to get that please in there is it takes the skin off.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of in my recording and listening and morning practice, it's kind of like the daily recollection, my mission statement, and then like 10 to 15 minutes of yes, please, thank you, I love you.
Uh-huh. And the please is difficult to get in there because?
Because I can't do it without, like, cringing.
Mm-hmm. And is it because it feels like you're inviting things in, or you're inviting life to play a larger role, or what's the?
Yeah, it's totally visible. I mean, it's not like it's kind of like diving in fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's yes, please is kind of underlining and putting the yes in capital letters.
Yeah. Standing on two feet.
Thank you is acknowledging the willingness that this is your choice. You're making this choice, and you're making that choice out of unconditional love and gratitude.
And whatever's going on isn't happening to me, it's happening for me.
Yes. Yes. Well, no wonder ego is cringing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because my experience seems very real. And
ego's experience seems very real, or this
ego
this start
is a worthy opponent.
Feels,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will have cleaned up all the karma before it's finished with us.
Yes,
which is wonderful. If we stop and think about it that way, when something is finished, the example that works for me, and I don't know, maybe you were a smoker in your youth too, but smoking cigarettes and getting to that point of, you know, I wanted to go into the monastery. I couldn't go into the monastery and smoke cigarettes, so I was going to have to quit smoking, and finally just standing in the middle of my living room and just screaming, I will never stop smoking. I was just so absolutely defeated by the whole process, and then
yes.
quitting and yes. then getting to the point of I would not smoke a cigarette for anything. Not well, that's not true, I suppose, you know, if we could get a guarantee that world hunger would end or something, but short of a motivation like that, there's absolutely zero desire in me to smoke a cigarette.
Huh.
Right? And so that's what ending karma is like. When we try to avoid something, we try to get away from it, it's right there.
Yep.
It's dogging us all the time. And we know it is. But when we finish it, then it's done. And we don't ever have to worry about it again.
Huh.
So it's really worth the effort. And it's a kindness on the part of life that there are no shortcuts.
There are no shortcuts.
No shortcuts.
It also seems to be a spiral because I'm never like really working on anything new. It's like
yes,
continuous
correct.
Same. And after
yes.
50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's amazing how I can get totally caught in believing. I mean, there's just no thought that this isn't real.
That's exactly so. That
and
is exactly so. Yep. And then you disidentify and you step back, and that's the process, because you are disidentifying much more quickly than you used to, right?
Yes.
And when you see through it, you see through it much more clearly.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, and some things have fallen away. There's a lot of things I don't do anymore, and then just no interest.
Absolutely.
In. Violent movies, but just whatever.
Yep. Here's the thing about working on the same thing forever and ever and ever, which is what it feels like. We can be deeply grateful for that, because here's my image. You wake up tomorrow morning with somebody else's karma.
Oh, I'd like that.
No, you would not. I can promise you, you would not. Because it would be devastating and overwhelming, because you would have no idea what it was or what to do with it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can be grateful that we're doing the work on what it is that we're working on. And we can look around and we can know that even though the specifics of what we're working on are unique to us, people having specific stuff to work on is universal, right? So everybody's doing the same thing, either with varying degrees of conscious awareness, and that's just the name of the game. So we have two choices. We can either hate it, resent it, resist it, or we can say, all right, this is what we're doing here. Roll up our sleeves. Let's go and enjoy it.
I'm finding that I'm intensely grateful to have a refuge in my morning recording and listening practice.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and you can take that refuge with you. Fortunately, it's very portable. Right? So that refuge can go with you everywhere you go all the time.
I've got a couple of tracks that really help me through that 90 seconds when an emotion is real.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's huge right there. When it's a takeover and you know to grab the recorder and start listening, that takeover has a short shelf life. It's not going to get you for much longer.
No, it's just a matter of the hormone rushing through, and that will just take its natural course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
as you say, it's all for us. It's not happening to us. It's not a sign that we've done something wrong. It's all for us. This is the path to freedom. We're walking it, and we're being assisted every single step of the way. I think I was talking about this at the workshop on Saturday, or maybe on this call last week, or God only knows. But today I was going around doing stuff, doing in your life stuff. And I was watching how every single thing just appeared in my mind. Pick up that. Don't forget that. Write that down, do that, grab that. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. And there's an awareness, of course, that that's happening all the time. Perfectly, perfectly guided. No item too small for guidance.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All for us.
It's all for us.
We are loved.
I'm bound and determined to get that one in there soon.
Determined to what?
To get that into my consciousness soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Karmic conditioning works so hard to try to convince us it's not true against overwhelming evidence that it is true.
Yes, because I believe it every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to overstay my welcome and want to give other people a chance to talk.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you.
I get in yet again.
Take care of yourself. Okay. Thanks, Beth. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we got about 5 minutes. Shall we take another caller here?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hello, Rita. We have 5 minutes. What's going on?
Okay, first of all, I got on the very first time I ever tried on October 27th, and what you told me gave me 4 or 5 life directives that have changed my life. They've really turned me more inward, and I just really want to thank you for that. It has really been a game changer. And I want to tell Michael that I think he has the most adorable laugh.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, Rita. I'm glad that we had that conversation and it changed your life. But here's the thing that you really want to keep in front of conscious awareness, okay? Mm-hmm. I could have talked to you from now until whatever. But it was you putting that conversation into practice that changed your life.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it works. Yes, and thank you. And it works just the way you say it works. Each time you get a little clearer, you know, you catch it a little quicker.
Yep.
It's a life changer. And I've done a lot of different things getting to this point. And the way you present it is so clear. You know, you've got the dark room and you've got the light room. And that's it. And I see so many people who even meditate, but they're still caught up in their thoughts and they still think it's them.
Yeah.
And they're not out of it. And last night, I was supposed to see my daughter tonight, which I mentioned in the first call. That has gotten somewhat improved, as you said it might. And good. I haven't heard from her today, which, thanks, it does not surprise me I haven't heard from her. And I woke up in the night, and I was getting all concerned and worried, and, you know, am I going to sleep well enough? Am I going to feel good enough? And da-da-da, and all these thoughts started coming up. And I stopped, and I caught them, and I started just telling myself out loud wonderful things. And I saw this kind of white light come into my head and just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I fell right to sleep and feel great today.
Lovely. Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing, of course, I'm going to encourage you to do when you're saying those things is have your recorder on.
Mm-hmm.
So that the next time, you know, you're struggling, you've got a little support system there. You've got a little jump start. And then you can hear those wonderful things, and you can add to that recording and like that.
Okay. And then the other theme I wanted to bring up, this is kind of the topic I wanted to bring up, is there's been this sort of thread of rejection in my life. And tonight, my daughter was supposed to call me today to meet her tonight. There was no call today. And it started when I was little, you know, with my dad and then my brother, and this thing, like this pattern of, you know, rejection. And I just heard you say that it's all for the good. We are loved. It's for freedom. And, you know, maybe it kept me from getting all wrapped up in a human instead of, you know, taking care of myself and feeling free that way.
Yes. And here's a little perspective to play with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is just possible that these people's lives have nothing to do with you.
Hmm.
Now, that's a rough one for most of us to consider, right? Because it seems so obvious, especially when the voices are telling us the stories, that what people are doing is because of us or is to us. But when we step back a little bit, we begin to realize that people are doing what they're doing, and almost none of it has us as a consideration. Now, that can be painful when we have conditioning that says, but my father should consider me, my brother should consider me, my daughter should consider me. Yeah, maybe, maybe, or maybe that's just a story that keeps people really, really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to realize how completely self-centered we are, how many things we do that if we could actually see ourselves from somebody else's perspective, we wouldn't do. But we don't see what we're doing from somebody else's perspective, and they don't either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, I talked to my brother about it years later, and he said we were fighting a lot, which I don't remember. And sometimes I think, well, you know, maybe I do things now to sabotage myself so that people do reject me.
Well, they might, but you know, here's a little game to play. See if you can take rejection out of your vocabulary.
Okay.
See if you can stop using that as an explanation for what's going on.
Okay.
So, for instance, what if your daughter just got caught up in her own life and it never occurred to her that calling you was important?
Wouldn't surprise me.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And when it's framed that way, you can see that it's not a rejection of you. She's just caught up in her own life. It can be incredibly painful for us to get it, that our parents were not doing what they were doing because of us. They were totally caught up in their own lives. And in many cases, we were just kind of a distraction or a nuisance. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, we were supposed to be the center of their world. But then when we grow up, we realize that, well, actually, rarely is anybody else the center of our world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we start seeing that, how we go back and forth, what it means when I do it and what it means when you do it. And what it means when I do it is that I'm just taking care of myself. When you do it, you're rejecting me.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah,
so
actually,
maybe,
I have to make this happen.
Yeah, maybe to begin to see the world without the concept of rejection. And replace that with everybody is just doing what they are doing. It has nothing to do with me. What does the world start to look like under those circumstances? Because when we get an idea like rejection or punishment or any of those kinds of intentional sorts of notions, then it's easy to frame everything in that, right? So anytime anything doesn't go my way or isn't the way I want it to be, it's because I'm being rejected. Well, maybe, probably not, actually. It's just going the way it's going, and I have a karmic habit of seeing everything as rejection, so that's how I explain what's happening. But that doesn't mean that's what's happening.
Okay, because sometimes it's almost instantaneously, like when a person looks at me.
That's right. That's how we know it's karmic conditioning. That's how we know it's karmic. Yep. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Of course they're not. Of course they're not rejecting you. They, God knows, as I'm fond of saying, they might have gas. We have no idea what's going on with them, right? But we...
Yeah.
Karmic conditioning is always there to take everything personally and tell its story. Make whatever happens fit into its story about me and how life is, what all of this means. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, your assignment.
Don't take anything personally.
That's right. And just drop the idea of rejection. Just begin to see, ooh, we are all... self-focused little critters.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good. Thanks, Rita.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rita. And thank you, Sherry, for another fabulous show. So helpful to me.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Will I talk to you next week? Do we have a show next week?
Yes, I think we do.
But
not the
very,
following.
Very, very, very good. But not the following, not over the whatever it is when we're on retreat. Good.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Me too. Good night.
Okay. Good night.